This is IBM, the Islamic Broadcasting Network. The following program is sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.
This is the best lecture series. Lessons and talks on various Islamic topics.
Today's program is The True Spirit of Islam and If You See Evil, Change It by Imam Siraj Wahaj.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillah. نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له فمن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله أما بعد يا أيها الذين آمنوا يقول الله عز وجل في القرآن الكريم أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس تأمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله ولو آمن أهل الكتاب لكان خير لهم منهم المؤمنون وأكثرهم الفاسقون صدق الله العظيم. My beloved brothers and sisters, we praise Allah. We could never praise Him enough. We thank Him. We seek His protection and His forgiveness. We bear witness that there is nothing worthy of worship besides Allah, the Almighty. And we bear witness that Muhammad, sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, is Allah's messenger and His servant. Dear brothers and sisters, we seek refuge with Allah from the weakness of our own selves and from our own evils. We bear witness that whomever Allah guides cannot be misguided. Yet, whomever Allah leaves to error cannot be guided aright. We ask Allah's blessings upon His beloved Messenger Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam and his family and the companions and all the good believers everywhere. Ameen. My dear brothers and sisters, I quote for you from the book of Allah, Al-Quran, a verse wherein the Lord of the worlds reveals to the believers, Kuntum khayra ummatin ukhrijat linnas. You are the best of people evolved for mankind. تَأْمُنُونَ بِالْمَعْرُوفِ and you enjoin what is good, وَتَنْحَوْنَ عَنِ الْمُنْكَرِ and you forbid what is evil, وَتُؤْمِنُونَ بِاللَّهِ and you believe in Allah. لَأَمَنَ أَهْلِ الْكِتَابِ لَكَانَ خَيْرَ لَهُمْ and had the people of the book believed, it was better for them. Some of them believe, but most of them are wicked. مِنْهُمُ الْمُؤْمِنُونَ وَأَكْثَرُهُمُ الْفَاسِقُونَ. My dear brothers and sisters, I called you out, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala called you out today. This afternoon, as well as some 28 imams from the Majlis Shura in the metropolitan area, as well as many imams in the East Coast region and around the country, are inviting the believers today to action. We are inviting the believers today to action. Tomorrow, I'm asking every Muslim brother and sister, and even our children, to come and meet with Muslims, busloads from Buffalo, Albany, Washington DC, Virginia, New Jersey, Connecticut, Philadelphia, Muslims coming together to go to 116th Street, Lenox Avenue, at Malcolm Shabazz Masjid. Many Muslims coming. African American Muslims, Muslims from the Arab world, Muslims from Bangladesh, Muslims from Pakistan, India, Muslims from the Caribbean, Muslims from Europe, brothers and sisters, teenagers, even our youngsters, coming together to converge on 116th Street in Lenox Avenue tomorrow at 12 noon. But not only that, when Muslims come from 116th Street to march to 125th Street at the Harlem State Office Building, where we will meet other groups, non-Muslims, Christians, activists, politicians, as a large number of people converge, thousands of people converge on 125th Street to do what? To listen to the direction and guidance of some of the a'imma, the imams, and some of the other leaders in this society. You may say, Brother Imam, I didn't come to Jummah prayer service to hear politics. I want to hear about Allah. I want to hear about Iman, faith. I want to hear about Deen, the religion. I want to hear about fasting and prayer. I want to hear about pilgrimage. I want to hear about charity. I don't want to hear about this politics that you're offering us to come to. My dear brothers and sisters, I beg to differ with you. I am inviting you to Deen. And I am inviting you to worship with us and to obey Allah and to obey the Messenger. He said to us, Man ra'a minkum munkar fayughayyirhu. Whoever among you see an evil, let him change it. This is a commandment from the Messenger of Allah, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. And the only reason that we obey the Messenger of Allah is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala orders us in Quran to obey the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wasallam. And brothers and sisters, we have a problem. The problem is that many of us don't understand that this war in the Persian Gulf is an evil. It is a wicked thing. And part of our responsibility today is to tell the truth. My dear brothers and sisters, one of the great Sahaba of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam is a man by the name of Abdullah ibn Salam. Abdullah ibn Salam was a Yahud, was a Jew. But he wasn't just any ordinary Jew, he was a rabbi. Very intelligent, very much respected by the people of Medina, respected by the Jews, and even respected by the Muslims because of his learning, Abdullah ibn Salam. And this person became a Muslim, and he was such a good Muslim that Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave him the good news of paradise. Yes, gave him the good news of paradise. I would like to tell you, brothers and sisters, what made Abdullah ibn Salam a rabbi, a Jew? What made him accept Islam? When Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam came to Medina from Mecca, this man was like to ask questions. Because if you claim to be the Messenger of Allah, I'm going to ask you questions. Everybody have a right to ask questions. I want to ask the Imam questions. You have the right. I want to ask the mayor of New York City questions. You have the right. I want to ask the governor. I want to ask the president of the Congress. I want to ask them questions. And so this man, Abdullah ibn Salam, wanted to ask the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam questions. Just three. He said, I'm going to ask you a question, three questions. And the only one who knows the answer to these questions is a prophet. Tell me, he said, what is the first sign of the day of judgment? Tell me, he said, what will be the food, the first food that the people of Jannah, the people of paradise, will eat? What kind of food will they eat? We'll eat in paradise. What kind of food? And then he said, why does sometimes a child, offspring, sometimes it resembles the mother and sometimes it resembles the father? Why? And when does it resemble the father and when does it resemble the mother? And listen to what the Prophet said, Muhammad alayhi salatu wasalam. He said, Jibril just now told me the answer. He didn't know the answer before Allah revealed it through the angel Jibril. Most of us think we know everything. And Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam never spoke except through revelation. your companion, is not, nor does he deviate, nor does he speak out of his own desire. It is not, but revelation revealed. Allah reveals in the Quran, in Surah Al-Najm, the star. And then, Abdullah ibn Salam said something interesting. He said, among all the angels of God, Jibril is an enemy to the Jews. And so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam answered each question. And then, when the Prophet answered correctly, Abdullah ibn Salam said, Ashhadu an la ilaha illallah wa sada anna Muhammad wa anna Rasulullah. I bear witness that there is no God but Allah, and you, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, are the messenger, is the messenger of Allah. And so this Jew, this rabbi, took Shahada and he became a believer. Now, then he said something very interesting. He said, O messenger of Allah, I know my people, the Jews. He just took Shahada. He was just with them yesterday. He knows them. He says, you would be, they tell such lies that you'd be astonished over the lies that they tell. And then he said, O messenger of Allah, please ask them about me before you let them know about my conversion to Islam. Ask them about me. And so Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, some Jews came to him and he asked them a question. He said, Ayu rajulun Abdullah ibn Salam fikum? Tell us, what is this man, Abdullah ibn Salam, how is he among you? How do you look at him? How do you perceive him? They said, Qalu, they said, Khairuna wabnu Khairuna. He is the best of us and the son of the best of us. Wa Abdaluna wabnu Abdalina. And he is the most superior among us and the son of the most superior among us. And the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, how would you feel if Abdullah ibn Salam accepted Islam and became a Muslim? They said, A'udhu bi, I seek refuge. A'udhu billah, I seek refuge in Allah against that, Abdullah ibn Salam becoming Muslim. And he repeated the question, the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, about this man, Abdullah ibn Salam. He was the best of us and the son of the best of us, the most superior among us and the son of the most superior among us. فَخَرَجَ إِلَيْهِمْ عَبْدُ اللَّهِ Abdullah came among them and said, فَقَالَ, he said, أَشْهَدُ أَنْ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا اللَّهِ وَأَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولُ اللَّهِ قَالُوا شَرُّنَا وَأَنُّ شَرِّنَا. He is the worst of us and the son of the worst of us. The moment Abdullah ibn Salam said Shahada, the moment, all of a sudden, they said, no, he's the worst of us. And his father is the worst of us. And then they began to degrade him. And then Abdullah said, he says, Hadha kuntu akhafu ya Rasulullah. This is what I was afraid of, O messenger of Allah. Brothers and sisters, when I read that hadith, I said, no, people can't lie like that. But now in 1991, I said, yes, people lie just like that. My dear brothers and sisters, I wanted to tell you today to do what the messenger of Allah said. مَنْ رَعَ مِنْكُمْ مُنْخَرْ مُنْكَرْ فَيِغَارِهُ هَا بِيَدِّ. Let him who sees an evil change it with his hand. Change this evil with your hand. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَتِعْ فَبِلِسَانِهِ. And if you don't have the ability to change it with your hand, you still must change it. But change it with your tongue. فَإِنْ لَمْ يَسْتَتِعْ فَبِقَلْبِهِ وَذَلِكَ عَدَفُ الْإِيمَانِ. If you can't change it with your tongue, change it with your heart. And that is the weakest of faith. But I command you, فَيُغَارِهُ, change it. Don't let the evil stay unless you change it. Do something about it. You must do something about it. What will you do? What method will you use? It's based upon your own strength. But change it. Don't allow it to live. But you can't change it until you understand it. And most of us, we don't understand of it, and most of us are passive. But I'm calling you today, brothers and sisters, Muslims must be activists. We are the number one activists on this planet Earth. You hear what I'm telling you? Muslims are supposed to be the number one activists on this earth. كنتم خير أمة أخرجت للناس. You are the best of people evolved for mankind. Mankind is waiting for you. America is waiting for you. Europe is waiting for you. Africa is waiting for you. Asia is waiting for you. Waiting for the Muslims. Why? تأمرون بالمعروف وتنحون عن المنكر وتؤمنون بالله. Because you enjoy what is good now and you forbid what is evil and you believe in Allah. I'm telling you today, brothers and sisters, I'm calling you to become activists and fulfill your role to enjoin the good and forbid the evil. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break. صلى الله على محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم. O Allah, help me to remember you, to thank you, and to worship you in the best of manners. O Allah, truly I seek refuge with you from the punishment of the grave, and I seek refuge with you from the trials of the false Christ. And I seek refuge with you from the trials of living and dying. O Allah, truly I seek refuge with you from sin and debt. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wa salatu wa salamu ala Rasulillahi wa ala sahbihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd. Ya ayyuhal ladhina aminu. O you who believe. Man ra'a minkum munkar. Fayyghayrihu biyadih. O you who believe. Any among you see an evil, let him change it with his hands. Some have said, Imam, we don't want to get involved in politics. You know, brothers and sisters, I always like to carry the dictionary. And every once in a while, brothers and sisters, you need to go back and find the meaning of words that you understand what you're talking about. And you find out that you don't even know what you're talking about. I looked up three words. Politics, policy, and police. All of them the same. Same root. Policy, police, politics. And the problem, brothers and sisters, Muslims have divorced ourselves, many of us, from the world outside of the masjid. That's a no-no. We've separated politics out of the deen. The deen, the religion, is never in a vacuum. You don't just float around in deen. But deen has roots. It goes to the ground. Deen, religion is real, it's part of reality. You can't go around floating in the sky with no reality. Prophet Muhammad was real. He was real. He had land. He was real. He dealt with reality. He dealt with politics. He dealt with policy. Policy. An official or prescribed plan or course of action. Policy. An official or prescribed plan or course of action. Policy. And policy is controlled by politics. Politics. Politicians govern the world. How do they govern? Interest groups. Lobbyists. I say be divorced from the evil, but get involved for the good of Islam. You must get involved and you must know how to maneuver these people for good. What are you doing it for? Our interest is the obedience to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That's our interest. What is it that we want? I don't want no money in my pocket. I can work and get my own money in my pocket. I don't want your money. What do you want? We want peace and justice. Must
peace and justice. Give everybody justice. Give the Israelites justice. Give the Jews justice. Give the Palestinians justice. Give the Muslims justice. Give the black man justice. Give the African American justice. Give the women justice. Give the children justice. Give the poor people justice. Justice for the homeless. We want justice. That's our interest. But we're not like that. I close, brothers and sisters, with a quotation from the Quran. أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بل نقذف بالحق على الباطل فيدمغه فإذا هو زاهق. No. We hurl the truth at falsehood and knock out its brains. For falsehood is bound to perish. All you have to do, brothers and sisters, is bring the truth. Bring the truth. But I say, brothers and sisters, we must get active. Let's do according to our ability. We can do something, believe me. Brothers and sisters, we believe that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has power over all things. Hold on to the truth. Hold on to the truth. No matter what happens, hold on to the truth. And Allah will bless us. Yes, the truth will set you free. Let's take it, brothers and sisters. A golden opportunity to take the truth of Islam. And believe me, let him who sees an evil change it with his hand. The biggest evil in this society is shirk. Let's go out there with the banner of La ilaha illallah and show the people. Because if you slay that falsehood, brothers and sisters, you've knocked out the brains. Allah is great. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad wa ala azwaji Muhammad wa ala dhuriyati Muhammad. وعلى ذريات محمد وسلم تسليما كثيرا ربنا تقبل منا إنك أنت السميع العليم ربنا لا تؤاخذنا إن نسينا أطعنا ربنا ولا تحمل علينا إصرا كما حملت على الذين من قبلنا ربنا ولا تحملنا ما لا طاقة لنا به واعف عنا واغفر لنا وارحمنا أنت مولانا فانصرنا على القوم الكافرين الحمد لله رب العالمين.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
He's lazy. She's stupid. He's a racist. That one's greedy. And there's a terrorist.
If you look at people and all you see are labels, everyone loses.
Labels hurt all of us and they're wrong.
Every one of us is unique, a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us? Is a one-of-a-kind original.
Every one of us is a one-of-a-kind original. Our diversity is our strength. Instead of stereotyping, we can all learn from each other.
Don't let prejudice shape your view. Take the time to get to know people and see for yourself who they really are.
We are all one. One of a kind.
Stereotyping is wrong, and it hurts all of us. Stop stereotyping.
A message from your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. الحمد لله رب العالمين نحمده ونستعين ونستغفر ونؤمن به ونتوكل عليه ونعوذ بالله من شر انفسنا ومن سيئات اعمالنا من يهد الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له نشهد ان لا اله الا الله وحده لا شريك له واشهد ان محمدا عبده ورسوله اما بعد I'm very thankful to Allah the Almighty to have the great privilege to address you tonight for a few moments. 2 weeks ago I was on a plane coming from New York on U.S. Air on my way to Jacksonville, Florida. And in the back of me was a young mother, and she had a young boy named Alex, about 3 years old. And the reason that I remembered his name because the mother repeatedly during the trip said, Alex, sit down. Alex, don't do this. Alex, don't do that. And you know how children can be at that age, into everything. And then finally, after the mother said, Alex, don't do this, finally Alex said, But mommy, why? And she said, Alex, just because I say so. And there is something about the nature of a mother and father that they know instinctively that they have the right to tell their child what to do. They don't have to read it in the manual. They know by nature that the child is supposed to obey them, the mother and the father. They know that. And also the child knows that whatever it needs, it must seek it from the parent. And look, when the child is born, immediately when the child comes out, it searches for the mother's breast so that it can nourish itself. I use that as an introduction for what I want to say to you tonight by the graces of Allah. Allah tells us to do so many things as Muslims. And sometimes our children don't understand and ask the question, well, mom and dad, why do I have to dress like this? Why can I not go to the prom? Why can I not do, why do I have to, why? And sometimes we have to say, well, just because Allah said it, and trust Allah. Brothers and sisters, you can tell oft time the significance of something based upon how many times it's repeated. I wonder, do you know which word in the Quran, this 114 chapters, which word is repeated more often than any other word? And you will find a word in the Quran that's repeated so much and no other word comes near it. And that is the name Allah. Then Allah must be significant. Some 3,000 times in the Quran, just Allah alone, Allah, 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 over and over again, he repeats his name all throughout the Quran. And it's interesting to note that the word after the name of Allah that most often appears in the Quran is the word knowledge and its derivatives. Almost 1,000 times Allah repeats the word in the Quran, ilm, alam, ulima, ta'alamu, alam. All of these things, knowledge and its derivatives. First, the name of Allah, and then knowledge. Today, brothers and sisters, I'm going to offer to you what I believe should be the spirit of our community in the next 1,000 years. I often wonder what tomorrow will be like. Sometimes I think and wonder when my little Sejda, my youngest daughter, is 30 years, what will this country be like? I wonder 500 years from now, and if we're still around, what would this world be like? The truth, brothers and sisters, none of us have the ability to know exactly what will happen tomorrow. For Allah reveals in Quran, أَعُوذُ بِاللَّهِ مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ مَاذَا تَقْسِبُ غَدًا. And no soul knows what it will earn tomorrow. Today you're rich, tomorrow you're poor. Today you live in a nice home, tomorrow you're homeless. Today you married to a wonderful man, tomorrow you're widow. You have great parents today, tomorrow one of them or both of them are gone. You have children today, but tomorrow some of them will go because Allah will take them away, because that's the nature of this life. And whenever you begin to hold on to things in this life, Allah lets you know that nothing is permanent but Him. And so all your life you learn to love things. And as soon as you get real close, Allah snatches away from you. Just to let you always know to remember to be humble, and that you always put your trust in Allah. Not money, not material things, but in Allah.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sallallahu ala Muhammad. Sallallahu alayhi wa sallam.
Ali ibn Abu Talib, may Allah be pleased with him, related that he heard the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam say, if a man calls on his sick Muslim brother, It is as if he walks reaping the fruits of paradise until he sits. And when he sits, he is showered in mercy. And if this was in the morning, 70,000 angels send prayers upon him until the evening. And if this was in the evening, 70,000 angels send prayers upon him until the morning. And when the Prophet ﷺ would enter upon a sick person, he would say, "No harm. May this be a purification for you, if Allah wills." Also, it is said that any Muslim servant who visits a sick person whose prescribed moment of death has not arrived, and then prays the following 7 times, "I ask Allah the Supreme, Lord of the Magnificent Throne, to cure you." And if his prescribed moment of death has not arrived, then he, the sick person, will be cured.
Welcome back. You're listening to the Best Lecture Series.
Now tonight I'd like to share with you what I think should be the spirit of the community. You know something's its significance by how many times it's repeated. Indeed, the first chapter of the Quran is called As-Sabi'ul Muthani. That means the 7 oft-repeated verses. This chapter, Al-Fatiha, the opening book of the Quran, is so significant that a Muslim must recite this chapter every prayer and every rak'ah. And if you don't recite Al-Fatiha, then there is no prayer, la salat, no prayer unless you recite Suratul Fatiha. Is that right? Then that must mean that this chapter is significant because it's repeated so often, the oft-repeated prayer. And there's something else that's important in the Quran that's repeated a few places. And that's going to be the basis of my discussion tonight, inshallah. But I want to bring something to your attention, brothers and sisters. I think I've been studying an imam for many, many years. And I think just now I'm beginning to understand some of it. A long time ago, when Allah created the first man, Adam, alayhi salatu wasalam, and his wife, immediately from the very beginning, Allah gave this man, Adam, and his wife great honor. And Allah told all the angels to bow down to Adam. And they did, every one of them. But there was somebody who wasn't an angel, a jinn, called Iblis, that Allah also ordered him to bow down to Adam. وَأَبَى وَاسْتَقْبَرْ. But he refused to bow down to Adam, and he was arrogant. And I want you to think along with me. Allah gives everyone an opportunity to express themselves. And that's a good lesson for parents. Allah allows everyone to express themselves. So Allah asks Iblis, وَمَا مَنَعْكَ أَلَا تَسْجُدَ إِذْ أَمَرْتُكَ. What prevented you from prostrating when, and this is the key, when I ordered you to? قَالَ, he said, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِّنْهُ. I am better than him. خَلَقْتَنِي مِن نَارٍ وَخَلَقْتَهُ مِن تِينٍ. You created me of fire, and him you created of mud. I'm better than him. And this, brothers and sisters, began the creation and the making of Shaitan the devil. Notice, you never read in the Quran Shaitan from the beginning. You read Iblis. Because he became Shaitan based upon his challenge to Allah. And so all of his life now, this Shaitan is obsessed with the idea that I am better than this man, I refuse to bow down to him, and I'm going to prove to you that this man is unworthy. I'm going to prove it to you that this man, Adam, this human being, he doesn't have the right to be better than me. And so everything that man does, Shaitan is there trying to take him from the right path, trying to prove to him, trying to prove to Allah
that we as human beings are unworthy of the great honor that Allah has given to us. This is repeated a few times in the Quran. So then that must mean that it's significant. You know the irony? The irony is that Shaitan or Iblis thought himself better. And listen to what Allah said after Iblis refused to bow. Allah said, "Fakhruj, fakhruj, fakhruj, get out. Innaka min as-sagirin, you are of the lowest. Fakhruj, get out of here. Because even though you think you're better, in reality you're worse. Why? Because no matter what you think of yourself, you got to go back to Allah's commandment. Let me show you the wisdom of this. You know, Imam, there are sisters that we're married to. Allah knows are smarter than us. Now, brothers, I'm not talking about you all, necessarily. But there are. Some sisters have PhDs, college degrees. Allah bless them to be very intelligent. I have a very intelligent wife, and I recognize that. And I learned from her. I hope you do the same thing. But yet, even though they may even have more knowledge than sometimes their husbands in certain ways, but Allah tells the man that arrijalu qawwamuna lisa, men are the heads of the households, right? So sister, she says, you know what? You're my husband, and I give you some advice, but still I respect you because you are the head of the household. Why? Because Allah gave you that. You see, Allah has given you imam. Sometimes we give a khutbah. Brother's sitting there. I could do that. I do better than the imam. I graduated from Sunset School. He didn't. I'm better than him. Shaitan is talking to you. Because no matter what you think, Allah told you to obey the imam. So you do it. And if you do it, Allah will bless you. And if you submit to Allah, Allah elevates you. Yeah. If you submit to Allah, Allah elevates you. But if you want to fight, and then now you're going to prove that he's unworthy, like Shaitan, and you're going to go around now trying to do everything to undermine the man. Now, brothers and sisters, I come to what I want to say tonight. This was an introduction to what I really want to say. When you get an opportunity, I want you to pick up the fourth volume of Bukhari Hadith in the section called Kitab al-Anbiya, the chapter of the prophets. I had the opportunity, Imam, to read every hadith in that volume about the prophets. Every word. And I learned something very valuable that I'd like to share tonight, which I believe should be the right spirit of the future. One of my friends named Sharif, lives in Arizona, told me one day, he says, "Siraj, we should pray as if everything depends on Allah." And it does. I mean, everything. See, you think that you can earn bread, but you can't if Allah doesn't allow you. We take so many things for granted. Every breath that we take for granted. But just let Allah stop the air from coming. Let Allah stop the rain, which He has, from what I understand. Let Him stop the crops from growing. All these things that you take for granted, just let Allah stop it. So everything you do, you have to ask Allah. Even when a man sleeps with his wife, he has to ask Allah. She has to ask Allah. Because take nothing for granted. Everything you do, you have to ask Allah. And so if you're talking about the future, every day, every year, every millennium, every 1,000 years, every 10,000 years, every 1,000,000 years, you plan. Ask Allah for everything, every morsel of bread. He says, pray to Allah as if everything depends on Allah, and it does. But then he said, Siraj, work as if everything depends on you. See, you're working as if everything depends on you. You're working as if, but you know it depends on Allah. You have to ask Him, and then you got to go to work. And then you got to plan, even though it may never come into existence, but still you have to plan. Now let me tell you why. I don't know what tomorrow will bring. وَمَا تَدْرِي نَفْسٌ بِأَيِّ أَرْضٍ تَمُوتُ. And nobody even knows the land that they're going to die. I know a brother friend of mine, born in Pakistan, moved to America and became a doctor in the city of Detroit. We made Hajj, and he died in Mecca. Born in Pakistan, living in America, dying in Mecca. You don't know where you're going to die. And by the way, that's why you be careful where you go. Because you don't want to die in a crack house. You don't want to die in a whorehouse. Nobody knows. See, Allah does that to you. When you run and hide and you sneak around, Allah's the manifester. And so whatever you do in the dark, Allah bringing it to light. And you don't know where you're going to die, what you do, in what circumstance. And that's why you have to try to live your life right, because Allah can take you any moment. Nobody knows the future. But yet we have to plan. I read all of the verses in the hadith about the prophets.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
We choose to go to the moon and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard.
We all face unique challenges in life, and through struggle, we progress. But what makes the difference between those who succeed and those who fail? It is a clear conviction in the higher ideals and purpose of life. Have faith. It works miracles.
This message is brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors and the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series.
Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, taught us that every human being that's born, every one of them, everyone is touched by Shaitan at his birth, except two people, Jesus and his mother, Maryam. If you go in the Quran, you will understand the significance of grandmothers. And the answer lies within the Quran in the dua of the grandmother of Jesus. I'll let you study that yourself. You see, it's right there, plain black and white. Oh, grandmothers, very powerful. I look at us tonight, how well dressed we are, in our beautiful dresses and our beautiful suits. Very nice. But guess what? In a few days, when we die, all of these great finery of clothing, we won't take with us. And for sure, we will be resurrected, for sure. And guess what? Everybody, without any exception, will be resurrected naked. Even though we will be resurrected naked, we will be clothed. Question number two. Who will be the first human being clothed on the day of resurrection? If you think you know the answer, raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Prophet Ibrahim, yes, alayhi salat wa salam, will be the first human being that is clothed on the day of judgment. Allahu Akbar. Number three, when the horn will be blown for the first time, every human thing, everything alive, will lose consciousness. And when the horn is blown a second time, who will be the first one to arise from consciousness or into consciousness? If you think you know the answer, raise your hand. Yes. Prophet Muhammad, Allahu Akbar. Wrong. That's a good guess. Yes. Prophet Musa, alayhi salat wa salam. Prophet Moses will be the first one to raise from consciousness. The Quran mentions the prophets. In one person in the Quran, Allah spoke to directly. That's Prophet Musa. Finally, my last question. Which prayer of what person is most beloved by Allah? Of all of the people in creation, whose prayer is most loved by Allah? If you think you know the answer, raise your hand. Yes, ma'am. Allahu Akbar. Prophet Dawood, correct. Listen to what the Prophet said, sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And all of these things, sisters and brothers, they have meaning. Inna habbu salat illallah salatu Dawood. Kana yanamu nifs al-layl wa yakumu thuluthahu wa yanamu sudusahu.
The most beloved prayer to Allah is the prayer of Prophet David, Prophet Dawood. Why? Because he used to sleep half the night, stand up in prayer one third of the night, and go back to sleep one sixth of the night. But why? What's the reason? What's the wisdom? Someone asked the Prophet, sallallahu alaihi wasallam, min akramun nas, who is the most honorable person? He says, Yusuf, Joseph, a prophet and the son of a prophet and the grandson of a prophet and the great grandson of a prophet, Prophet Yusuf or Joseph. Now, brothers and sisters, I conclude. Prophet Muhammad, peace and blessing be upon him, said that none of you must say that I'm better than Jonah. And he who says, listen, he who says the prophet, is better than Jonah is a liar. It's in the hadith. And Imam, I put all these together. And I said, I got it. The spirit that we must have in this community must be the same spirit as the prophets, and not the spirit of Shaitan. What do you mean by that? Our prophet didn't say, I'm the most honorable, I'm me, like Shaitan, like Iblis, Anna, me. This is where you begin to fall, when you say me, Anna, me. What happened to Nahnu, we? What happened to Allah, first and foremost? And I said, now I got it, Imam, I got it. I think I understand a little bit. In my conclusion, I read something that the Prophet said, alayhi salatu wasalam, that really affected me. He said, "Kulu salama min an-nasi alayhi sabaka, kulla yawmin tatla'u fi shams." You know what that means? He said, every bone of a human being is responsible to give charity every day that the sun rises. He didn't say every human being has to give charity. He said every bone of a human being has to give charity every day that the sun rises. And then I think, I realize now, that whatever I think I have done to make a contribution to Islam is really very, very, very small. I mean, think about it.
You are listening to the best lecture series. We will be back after this short break.
If the way you dress expresses how you feel, and your dress speaks about you, then your dress not only makes a statement, but it is an important part of your identity. These are American Muslim women. Their dress reflects their faith and their belief in modesty. This message has been brought to you by your American Muslim neighbors.
This public service announcement is brought to you by the Islamic Media Foundation.
Welcome back. You're listening to the best lecture series.
I know we pray five times a day and, you know, kind of think we're doing something. But it's not much compared to what Allah's given to us. We don't really give back what we should. The thing that I've learned, Imam, in my studies, is that whatever Allah gives you, you have the responsibility to give something back. I mean more than zakat. I mean more than a portion of your salary. You know what I mean? I mean, if Allah gives you sleep, give some back. This is why the prayer of Dawood was so great. Because if the average person slept 6 hours, he would sleep 4 hours and pray 2 hours. See? While you're in the bed sleeping at night, it's a blessing. Sleep is a blessing. You're tired and you sleep, and some people don't want to get up, but as a Muslim, you have to get up even though you're tired. You have to get up before the sun rises. You have to get your children up. They have to get up. But come on, we got to get up. We got to worship Allah. You got to get up. You got to get up every day. You got to get up every morning. You got to get up. Come on, you got to get up. You teach them 5, 6, 7 years old. Come on. Where you going? We're going to worship Allah. Come on, let's get up. So Lot give you food. We had this wonderful food tonight, wonderful dinner. So whatever he gives you, you got to give something up. So every year, here come Ramadan. You give up, he give you food. So I say, okay, Allah, I'm not going to take everything Ramadan for the whole month. During the daylight hours, I'm going to give it back to you. Allah give you a wonderful, beautiful wife. Say, Allah, thank you for my wife. I'm going to give it up, Ramadan, for you. So whatever Allah give you time, then you give back some time to the masjid. Allah gave you a mind, a beautiful mind, an intelligent mind. Give something back. Allah give this young girl a beautiful body. She looks beautiful. What she do? She covered up for Allah. She shows her gratitude to Allah. And go back now to the challenge of shaitan. Know what he said? وَلَا تَجِدُوا أَكْثَرُهُمْ شَاكِرُونَ. You will not find most of them grateful. So the whole idea of shaitan, the devil, is to make the people ungrateful to Allah. And that's why all these people, they're ungrateful for all that Allah has given to them. And they turn their backs on Allah. And so, brothers and sisters, I close with this. Imam, I say to you, أَنَا خَيْرٌ مِنِّي. You are better than me. I'm not trying to be better than anyone else. I'm trying to find my place. And now I go and look at my brothers and sisters, and I find something in them better than me. Because all of them have something in them better than me. And that's why I saw the prophet was. He mentioned all these prophets, and I could tell you more, how Allah blessed them. Imamuka khairun min imami. Your imam is better than my imam. Awladikum khairun min awladi. Your children are better than my children. Zawjatika khairun min zawjati. Your wife is better than my wife. Your school is better than my school. Your masjid is better than my masjid. Your believers are better than my believers. And then when we look at each other and see the good in each other, that Allah has blessed them with more than us, then we appreciate Allah's creation. I say this to you. Let's prove tonight. Let's give something back. Number one, if you're going to talk about the future of a school or a business venture or anything you're going to do, you must begin with number one, niyyah, intention. Have to have the purpose, intention to do something for Allah. Just have the intention. Let me tell you why. قال رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم إن الله كتب الحسنات والسيئات. Allah writes down the good and the bad. What does Allah write down? وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ خَيْرٍ يُرَى وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِثْقَالَ ذَرَةٍ شَرٍ يُرَى. Whoever does an atom's weight of good shall see it. Every atom's weight of good that you do, Allah write it down. And every atom's weight of evil that you do, Allah write it down. When you're home alone by yourself and nobody's looking, your wife's not around, husband's not around, the imam's not around, the teacher's not around, the principal's not around, whatever you do in darkness, it's being written down. ثُمَّ بَيْنَ ذَلَكَ. Then he explained what it means. فَمَنْ حَمَّ بِحَسَنَاتٍ فَلَمْ يَأْمَلْهَا كَتَبَهُ اللَّهُ عِنْدَهُ حَسَنَاتٍ كَامِلَةٍ. Whoever intends to do a good deed but doesn't do it, Allah writes down with himself a full good deed. Think what I just said. Whoever intends to do a good deed, but something happens, he can't do it. I want to give $1,000 to the school. I intended. Somewhere along the line that when I was trying to do it, I couldn't do it. I lost my job. Because of your intention, Allah already wrote it down as a complete deed. The first thing you have to do, make niyyah. That's first. And the niyyah must be sincere. I want to help the school. The school is good. The school is great, inshallah. It's the future. Now. It's the future now. So I make niyyah. I want to help the school. So I make niyyah. $1,000. Yes. Number one. Number two, then there must be effort. Now how am I gonna do that? You're gonna start today. I don't have all my $1,000, Imam, I'm telling you. But you know what? I got some right now. I'm going to give you toward my $1,000 tonight. That's number one. And I'm going to ask everybody to do the same thing. Some of you can pay the $1,000 right now. Yes. Now, number three, you need a plan. I close with these words of the Prophet alayhi salatu wasalam. Someone came to him and said, Ya Rasulullah, mita sa'a, O Messenger of Allah, when is the hour? And the Prophet said, Ma addata laha, what did you prepare for it? So there must be a plan. Those of you who cannot afford $1,000 but have something to give, $900 or $700 or $500 or $400, $300, whatever it is, $100 or $50, even a dime, brothers and sisters, you never know that one dime could be the difference. But Allah will forgive you your sin and enter you into Jannah. This could be the difference. But I want everyone to give something. Don't think that it's not enough. The Prophet said, save yourselves from the fire even with half a date. And Allah accepts anything, however small it is. If you do it sincerely for Allah, Allah will accept it. So brothers and sisters, I really appreciate you and your wonderful spirit, and I know that you will carry that spirit in this community, a spirit of love and commitment to each other, and a spirit of humbleness before Allah and with each other. And that is, try to find the good in each other. And if you look close enough, every brother you know and every sister you know will have something about them that's better than you. Make dua for each other. I love you, and I love this community, and I love the spirit that you have. As-salamu alaykum wa rahmatullah.
This program has been sponsored by the Islamic Media Foundation, sharing the guidance of Allah through broadcast media and the internet.